Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Break the Case with Jennifer Coffendaffer. Inside the evidence. Behind the headlines. From someone who's been there. Here now, Jennifer Coffendaffer.
You guys know what to do, just like every other podcast. What is up, everybody? Hit the like button. Hit the subscribe button. Ring that notification bell. We have a great show for you guys today with a great guest, a reoccurring guest that's been on the show before. We're going to be talking about the Summer Wells case and the most recent search about 3-4 weeks ago now on November 13th on the 3500 block of Van Hill Road out in Tennessee in regards to the search of Summer Wells. And so I just want to say thank you to everybody that's tuning in. Hit the like button, subscribe, you know what to do. So without further ado, let's bring in our special guest, former FBI agent, Jennifer Coffendaffer. Jennifer, how are you doing? Welcome back to the show.
Hi, everyone. Well, I'm doing great because it was a big night. You know, it's the end of football season. Mm-hmm. Nothing to do with true crime, but anyway, big football banquet. My son was named Offensive Player of the Year.
Wow.
So I am in high cotton right now. So feeling good. How are you doing?
That is amazing. I'm doing well. You know, I'm a big football fan. So I'm also doing a new thing starting tomorrow on this show where we do football Fridays. My team's been up and down and, you know, they finally came around there in first place. So right now I'm feeling pretty good.
Awesome. That's great. You know, it's so funny because I feel like, obviously, crime is my thing. Crime is your thing. But I really love sports. I love every sport. And I'm interested in so many things. And I kind of like to diverge down those paths. But I don't know. I'm always pulled back to true crime.
Oh yeah, 100%, 100%. And so, and with that being said, Summer Wells, she went missing about 4 years ago now, and little girl about 5 years old disappeared out of her under some mysterious circumstances. So a lot of red flags in the case, a lot of suspicious characters. And there recently was a search about 9.5 miles away. Now, according to what I've been able to find out, it was a group effort that were out there. It was the FBI, TBI, and Hawkins County Sheriff's Office that were out there. How has the FBI been involved in this case before? And how often do the FBI get involved in missing persons cases?
So the FBI has been involved in the Summer Wells case from fairly early on. And they get involved in cases like this when they're asked to by the local jurisdictions. What we reopen what we call a police cooperation case. That's exactly how it's titled. So instead of being an extortion case or a white collar crime case or something like that, it's literally titled police cooperation. And then under that would be the victim's name, in this case, Summer Wells, and then all the other specifics. And we have to do actually in what we call an EC or a memorandum to open the case. And we have to show that, you know, this local jurisdiction needs us and needs our resources. And we have to spell out what we're going to provide, what's expected of us. So that happened early on in the case and has continued. So anytime the local jurisdiction says, listen, we're going to go on the search, the FBI is going to give resources to that.
Good deal. That's good information to know, because I know some folks were thinking that maybe perhaps there was a break in some sort of case where they thought that something that crossed state lines may have occurred. And it doesn't sound like that's, I mean, I guess it could be a possibility, but it doesn't seem like that's the possibility here. Now, a search comes up with these three entities, and I believe it was from an FBI tip. If that's the case, for there to have been this type of search and acknowledgement of the search, how valid of a tip do you think this is?
Well, first of all, the Bureau, whenever a tip comes in, it goes through a certain program, and every tip is going to be followed up on. There's different levels of urgency when the tip comes through, you know, the desk. But in this case, actually, because there's a case assigned, and I truly believe it's still there continues to be a police cooperation case in this matter, it goes straight to that case agent, and that case agent is going to jump right on it and ask his supervisor for any resources he needs. In other words, other bodies. Does he need the ERT, which is the evidence response team, to go out there? So basically, in a nutshell, they're going to follow up on everything. But the fact they would pull additional resources to do this search, I thought was pretty good news at the time.
I do, too. And apparently there was, I guess, some dirt that was being excavated. I don't know how true this is. I know that there's been a lot of rumors, and people from the area may have reported that there was truckloads of dirt. What is that? For one, do you think that that type of search is done on a permission base, or do you think that has to be done with a warrant?
Oh, with a warrant. Look, they're not going to do any case like this without having a warrant, any search, I should say, like this. Because what happens then, just say they find either indicia of a crime, or they find Summer Wells's bones. And then now you didn't do it with a warrant and you got all sorts of problems. So typically, if you feel like it's a valid search, you're going to go ahead and get that warrant.
And what type of what is the burden of proof, so to speak, required to get a warrant for a search like this?
So let me use it in there, or describe it in this context. The burden is probable cause, but a lot of people, you know, that's such an abstract, you know, word or two words, probable cause. So just on the continuum, right? Number one is what we call reasonable suspicion. And that's all a police officer really needs to even stop you and to question you and to detain you, if they have a reasonable suspicion that there's criminal activity afoot. So that's the lowest burden, really. People think probable cause is, but actually it's reasonable suspicion from the eyes of a law enforcement officer. So probable cause is a much higher burden because it prescribes typically that you can articulate facts to show something beyond sort of a preponderance. So 50%. In other words, if you're looking at everything, the needle moves enough to say, yeah, that's probable. Probable is the key word that you would find something.
Mm. Now, given the fact that they announced that they have done this search, would they announce if it ended up coming up nothing? Because, I mean, they put this out there for the public to digest. The public now thinks, all right, I mean, a lot of us think that there had to have been a warrant. That was one of my, you know, first things that I thought of with this amount of presence, you know, that there would have had to have been a warrant, which means there would have had to have been some sort of evidence that can be articulated, as you mentioned, so that a judge can sign off on the for them to excavate some sort of dirt. You know, to me, I just I kind of forgot where I was going with that.
No, you were saying, I think what you were saying is, so do you think that they found something?
Well, not so much that they found something. I remember. Do you think that if they don't find something, that they would disclose that because they disclosed that they had a search?
No. I don't think they're going to disclose whether they found something or didn't find something. And if they indeed did get a search warrant, which would be the proper thing to do, because if you don't, if you just get the other way you can search, and the Bureau does this all the time, is you can get somebody to agree to do that. And you sign what they call a consent form, and they literally have to read through their rights regarding the consent, and then they sign a form. And that is just as legal as a warrant. There's no difference in the legality portion of it. But it does come into play later if you go into a court of law. It's just there's no scrutiny almost when you have a search warrant, right? Because you have a prosecutor, you have an investigative team, and most importantly, you have a judge that has said you can search there. With a consent search, it's just called under a little bit more scrutiny. I've never gained consent to search something. And one time I got consent in Spanish. The guy didn't even speak English. Mm. And we had to have a voir dire about my Spanish capabilities. And with that consent search, I think we got 15 kilos and of cocaine. And all of that was permissible, you know, just on a consent. I've never had anything thrown out with just getting consent. So I just want to make it clear to everybody, it's possible they could have gone with consent. It just really depends on the level of probable cause they had to search there.
Well, I mean, when you're putting that much resources there and consent can be withdrawn, I think that it's a bit of a, not necessarily a risk, but why risk that going out there, taking the trucks, taking all these resources, nearly maybe potentially being on the right track just for somebody to say, you know what, never mind, get off my property. You know what I'm saying? You know, consent can be withdrawn and at any point. And I just don't think that it would have been a smart decision. But like, for instance, in the Delphi case, Ron Logan's search warrant got out to the public. How does something like that happen? And is that something that we would never see in this case?
It's very rare for us to be able to see it, but certainly not unheard of. You just mentioned Delphi. And I wanted to, if I could, just backtrack for one quick second down. Not only can a person withdraw their consent, but more importantly, they could say that they were coerced in some way. In other words, they could change their whole mindset, even though it was completely offered up. And so that's another reason why, look, the Bureau hates to deal with consent searches. We do it. But if you can get a warrant, that's the story. Look at Luigi Mangione right now, right? Even though there was a search, totally legal, incident to arrest, look at the amount of scrutiny it's going under now. We're going on 2 weeks. But not to digress too much, I just wanted to add that to your point, which was a great point about withdrawing the other piece. As far as us seeing the search warrant, things get leaked all the time. We see it more and more because there's amazing sleuths. Sometimes things are supposed to be sealed, but they initially get put into uploaded. And mm-hmm. then later it's sealed. And so there's this small window of time that you can snag something and then it gets sealed. So I think it's possible if there is a warrant that we could possibly see the probable cause affidavit attached.
Interesting. And so going back to the search, if they excavated the dirt and that's what the rumors are, what does that tell you that they're searching for?
Oh, you know, you're always searching for, to me, indicia. In other words, is there any evidence that would show a crime was committed? That could mean a dress. That could mean something that was used in the crime, such as a plastic bag or something to bludgeon or a knife or something, right? An instrument. But I mean, let's be honest. We're all thinking, did somebody find a bone? It was somebody concerned about bones that were found out there? And it's tricky, as you probably know. I mean, you're a good Texas boy. It's tricky in these rural areas because unless you're an anthropologist, you're not necessarily going to know a bone that's years and years old, like Summer Wells's would be, whether it's human or whether it's not. So just because you find bones in that area, I think could be possibly probable cause to search.
Mm. Well, if it was a tip that led to a search like this, and it was a tip, what kind of, I mean, do you think somebody stumbled across some bones, or do you think somebody may have mentioned something and it was a, like they overheard somebody say something that they may have brought somewhere there at one point?
Well, to be clear, we don't know anything about bones, right? Correct. I'm just saying hypothetically, that would be a reason that probable cause could be obtained.
Correct. You know,
if that, but I think personally, it's more on the track you're saying. It's not because something was found there or there were bones seen or something like that. I truly believe it would be because of information that would have been obtained and indicated that something was there, that they need to go look at it. That's really what I think happened.
Yeah, I know that there's a private eye, Jensen. I can't remember his first name, if that's Jensen or his last name's Jensen. Yeah, he's worked, I guess, closely with this case. And he's brought up some sort of theory that there's these two brothers, that maybe somebody spoke. One of the things that I found interesting is like who the property belongs to. And we'll start off with there. The property that belongs to a guy named Paul Hill, who owned apparently a red Toyota, which was something that was seen in the area during the time that the disappearance occurred. Now, there's a Facebook post, and I'm not sure how, you know, how accurate this is, but it was sent to me from somebody that is in the area. And it was a post from somebody that lives in the area saying that they had actually purchased Paul Hill's red Toyota truck and that TBI had searched it years ago. If that's the case, and let's just say that's true, because that's a lot of, you know, third party stuff there and it's off of Facebook. So we got to take that with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
But if law enforcement were onto Paul Hill in the past where they looked at his vehicle or at least somebody close to, does it surprise you that they're searching now a few years later?
Well, you know, when you look at that red vehicle that was mentioned, I mean, essentially law enforcement would have searched probably many vehicles, including mm-hmm. his vehicles, right? Because it was a very specific vehicle that was described. And at least if I were involved in the case, I would be just kind of like what they did with the Idaho 4 case when everybody was looking for that Elantra and looking up every database they could. That would have that Elantra. It's the same situation here, right? As law enforcement, you need to look at every single person in that area that could have possibly, you know, had this truck registered to them, I would go and ask for a consent to search that truck. Just because his truck was searched, I think it's quasi-significant, but more because that was the description of a truck at that time that they were looking at. Now we have the secondary nexus, though. Now you have the red truck, and then you have the vehicle, or I mean the property that they're at. So that certainly gives more credence to some sort of nexus. So I see how you're tracking, and it makes sense.
And I'm not saying that Paul Hill may have had something to do with it. I'm curious if somebody perhaps related to him. And it goes back to the PI who's on, well, he's on Facebook, but these are his posts from his website, from his Facebook post, where he's indicated that he believes it was from these brothers. And the name Randy Hill has populated. And the interesting thing about Randy Hill, and this is also that's kind of come up, is that he's a tree trimmer. And apparently there was some tree trimmers who were outside of the area when Summer disappeared. Now, one of the interesting things that I found was that there's a YouTuber named Ziggy who has married Fred Hill. Are you familiar?
I'm familiar with Ziggy.
Okay. So Ziggy actually interviewed a guy that was part of the team, the tree trimmers on the side of the road while she was out there. And that guy said that there was a guy named Randy who was on his team that he replaced, because the day that Summer disappeared, he had apparently hit a guide wire with his truck. And they spoke about seeing Candace and Candace's mom. Apparently Randy had recognized them. Now, why this was significant to me, and this was from an interview a long time ago, you know, so this isn't like trying to put some dots and pieces together now that we know that there's a search and there's a possible Randy Hill there. The reason why it was interesting to me is because apparently the tree trimmers weren't from the area, and the guy that was part of the team didn't recognize or didn't know Randy's last name, you know, the person that was getting the interview. And so I wondered if that was because he was new to the team. Maybe they had subcontracted. And then the fact that that Randy guy supposedly recognized Candace and the grandma, that tells me that they're local. So somebody not from that team that's from out of state, and somebody who's local, who's a tree trimmer. I mean, I get where everybody's kind of pointing the, you know, where those dots might be connecting. Are you seeing them as well?
You know, I struggle with this case because, you know, it was a case that I was very involved with early on, particularly from a media standpoint. Mm-hmm. News Nation was all over this case, and thus I was all over this case, and I was all over it anyway, because I really was so concerned. This case reminds me so much of Sebastian Rogers. Mm. And with a lot of what I know with that case, and it is always important to be open-minded to possibilities. But Dan, if you would see that property, the chances that a random tree trimmer would go up into this property was overrun with dogs. You know, your average person would never want to go up into that property over to their house. And if you see, it's really sequestered over there. Again, there were the brothers that would have been there, Grandis, I call her Grandis, you know, grandma, and Candace would have all, you know, been there. And she, meaning Summer, was not one to stray. And in fact, her own mother said, I would never go into those woods, that there's bears in there. And I was terrified of the woods. I truly believe, and there was a couch that was against that door. I truly believe that this wasn't a stranger abduction. I'm very convinced of that. So it's hard for me to connect dots from a random tree trimmer. Having said that, I think it is very possible that Summer Wells could be unfortunately buried somewhere in and around, you know, that area. I know this was 9 miles away, but somewhere in and around that area. Well,
you know, and I'm very new to the case. So, you know, and I'm aware of a lot of the red flags with the family. You know, mm-hmm. my thoughts are, because I've watched a little bit of this, you know, I went back and kind of watched some things. And one of the things I've noticed is on two different interviews is that the boys apparently said that they saw Summer leave the body. They saw her outside. And I tend to think that there's a possibility that she did walk out. Now, if tree trimmers were in the area, I watched this one video where Don says that there was a dog trail. Now, I think a lot of people are thinking that that was a dog trail that meant that the dogs, Don's dogs, walked that area. It didn't look like that to me. And kind of hearing what he was describing, I think what the dog trail was the trail the dogs made following Summer's path to the driveway. And I was just kind of thinking if she walked out and she hears the tree trimmers in the distance, could she have gotten curious, walked down there, and an accident happened with a tree trimmer and they take off home, put her into the yard, you know, a complete accident. I get all the red flags. I understand 100% about all the stuff that's going on at their house and the garbage that was on the show or on the TV, which I mean, I get it, but you know, I thought that, you know, the dogs kind of, I mean, she was barefoot, so that should have been a strong scent. You know, they picked up a strong scent that dissipated at the roadway or at the driveway. We actually had some canine search and rescue team that came on the channel with myself and Ryan Finds Truth. And they mentioned that, you know, those type of dogs should be able to, you know, could be able to track a person in a vehicle if they were put in a vehicle. But that elevation could make a difference. And if it's a higher vehicle, it could be the reason why they lost the trail at the roadway. But I do get the red flags there. I'm just kind of curious as to if it wasn't this possibility, if it was just Candace and Don, how do we explain the search 9 miles away?
Oh, I think how we explain that, I mean, in my view, is there was such a hiatus of time between the report time of being missing and when she likely went missing or possibly went missing. So, you know, 9 miles is nothing. You know, that's 9 true. Miles is 5 minutes in that, you know, as long as you're not in New York traffic. You know, I've always thought that it was nothing. That, in other words, they wouldn't have buried her or gotten rid of her on their property. I think they would have taken her someplace that they were familiar with. So that was always my thought. And again, this is just, it's hard for me to undo, you know, all the details in that case. And I'm an Occam's razor girl, but that doesn't mean Occam's razors, there's, you know, probably 1% where Occam's razor doesn't apply. In other words, you know, that the obvious is likely the path. So, you know, for me to put together some tree trimmers when we don't even know that the tree trimmers were really even within how close they would have even been to her area specifically, for her to be barefoot, for her to find these tree trimmers, and for the tree trimmer, you know, to stray from his group and to somehow intersect with her at just the right time and then to take her or to kill her and for no one to know it. But, you know, it's just a lot of non-Occam's razor components. when you look at a lot of the other things that went on in that case and the issues at home, you know, that lends itself to be more probable.
I don't doubt that one bit. My only problem with that is, like, for instance, Don was like an hour plus away. He had his phone with him. From what I understand, he turned over his phone. You know, they have his vehicle and there's probably cameras in between where he was and where the house was. So, like, I doubt that Don could have done something and law enforcement not be able to figure that out. So it boils it down to Candace. Like, could have something have happened out there, something involving Candace? Did she do something and panic? You know, that I think that's where it would kind of boil down to. You know, I know there's a lot of speculation going on, you know, with Candace and stuff. What do you think most likely happened? And do you think it was an accident and they tried to hide, or do you think something more nefarious may have occurred?
I think it would have been, well, I think it could have been something nefarious.
Okay.
I think there's a lot that went on in that house.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't good. I always thought, and I've been wrong on this, I've always thought that those brothers would come forth at some point. You know, they've been removed now for years. Yeah. And I really thought that they would give answers and provide a better timeline and detail. You know, did she really come into the house? Was she really down in that basement, or was she up in the area that they were in more often, which was this TV room area off to the right? You know, what really happened when, remember, she purportedly went back into that house, and that's where then they just say, poof, she vanished from there.
Yeah.
So I really thought those boys would provide more clues, and maybe they have, and we just as the public don't know about them. But I thought this seemed like it was solvable, and I'm still surprised to this day that it hasn't been solved. And I was really hopeful 3 weeks ago, because this is years now, as you know, Dan. That's a long time to keep some secrets, because I think more than one person probably knows what happened.
Mm. And do you think that the fact that it's been like 3 weeks, that the results are not as maybe perhaps as strong as we thought they could be?
Yeah, probably. You know, I look back at the Michael Vaughn case. I don't know if you're familiar mm-hmm. with that, the little boy in Idaho. And he, again, you know, walked out of his house, disappeared, never made it to the little water park that a lot of people think he was headed toward, because he was, you know, stolen and murdered by the Wanderers, you know, they've been charged. But I don't know if you remember this, but they had probable cause and they excavated. They took a backhoe and went through every square inch based on information from one of the Wanderers, right, that he was buried back there, mm-hmm. and never found any sign, even though they had all that information. Obviously, the body was moved, right? If the body was there, the body was moved, because they didn't find anything. Mm-hmm. So it's so difficult, even in a small area. This is my point. A small area with a backhoe digging up every square inch of a small area to find body or bones, especially after all of these years, if that's what they were looking for. And even if not, even if it's indicia of a crime, you know, there's water, there's, you know, confusion about where something exactly would be. If it was bones, I mean, there's varmints. It's so difficult to search these areas and have them be fruitful.
Yeah, no, I definitely understand that. You know, it's one interesting thing, though, is that supposedly this property they searched was like a pig farm. And there's always been this theory about pig farms. You know, and you also mentioned, you know, the boys. Could they have said something that sparked up this search?
I think so. I've been saying this for years. They hold the key, because they, if we're to believe, which I'm not sure I can believe anything Candace says. In fact, I really can't believe anything Candace or Grandis say. Mm-hmm. But they would have had some knowledge as to what happened mm-hmm. to their little sister. And so I think it's possible that information could possibly be emanating from them. You're right. The older they get, maybe the more they're able to speak about. It's been years now, though. And they would have already been interviewed by specialists dealing with children and children that have been in a traumatic environment.
What do you think about the fact that that Candace and Don apparently have been somewhat cleared from any, I guess, wrongdoing when it came to the boys as far as child services goes? They haven't been given custody back. I believe two of them have been adopted. I think the third one doesn't want to go back home, from what I've heard. I don't know how true that is. It's just kind of the rumor stuff. But what do you think about that? Do you think that's just because of a lack of evidence, or what are your thoughts on that?
No, I mean, and you make a good point. And I've seen that paperwork and documentation. Obviously, Don Wells was thrilled to put that out there. And I understand that because, you know, there was a lot of scrutiny on them for how they treated their children. In fact, it was beyond scrutiny. They took their children away, which is so rare. CPS doesn't want to do that. And if they take them away, they want to give them back to the biological parents as soon as they possibly can. And they never earn the right to have them back. But yet now they're saying they're cleared. I got to tell you, when it comes to CPS and, you know, all these departments of child affairs people, I have found them to be most difficult to be reliable. Just seen too many cases where, and there are some amazing workers that work in those environments. Most of them are overworked and they quit. They just, it's a lot to face over and over again to see things like that. Mm-hmm. And so basically, to your point, I don't know if I trust anything that CPS says and finds. I think the fact that the children were never given back is proof in the pudding to me that it was a bad, horrible environment. I mean, all you had to do was see Chris McDonough's, video.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, no, that brought up a lot of red flags, obviously, you know, when I started watching that and everybody else, I'm sure they picked up on them as well. And there's been other things, you know, that have been shown. I think there was an image that Chris McDonough had where it was like the bed sheet and it looked bad. It looked like stains of some sort. It didn't look good. But yeah, they took him away and they didn't give him back. And I think one child is not adopted yet and he still has not been given back either. So that should say something. You're absolutely right. From what I understand, though, they both passed polygraph tests. What are your thoughts on that aspect of it? You know, I know they were investigated. They turned over their phones. You know, they've cooperated to some extent. I don't know if they've fully cooperated or they've stayed fully cooperative or if they've shut down or whatever the case may be. I know they didn't want to give a statement here recently. What do you think about the investigation into them and how they haven't been able to build a case against them?
Well, you know, when it comes to these polygraph tests, first of all, Candace did not initially pass.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And then she purportedly then later passed. But this is the problem with polygraph tests. And by the way, I'm a huge believer in polygraph tests for normal people, for your average American, for somebody who has a conscience and all of that, they work. And I brought this up before. I'll bring it up again because I haven't talked about it for a long time. But I was a big disbeliever in polygraphs as an FBI agent, although I used them. And I was in with a guy named Gary Steger, God rest his soul. He died just a couple years ago. He was the chief polygrapher in all of Houston Division, which was a huge division. He was also my SWAT team leader. And we got into this discussion. He said, all right, come on. I'm taking you down. I'm putting you on the box right now. So I get on the box. And this was before. It was later that every 3 years, if you were any foreign counterintelligence, counterterrorism, any classified, or you're on a SWAT team, you have to have a polygraph every 3 years. So later on, I was constantly polygraphed. But initially I wasn't polygraphed. That was before the new rules, right? So I go down with him. This is my first year in the FBI, and I'm sitting there. He hooks me up. He says, listen, write numbers 1 through 12, I think it was. You know, I'm just going from memory, about 1 through 12. He said, write them down on a piece of paper. You know, tear off the little pieces of paper. He goes, pick up one number and put it in your pocket. And I'm just going to ask you what number's in your pocket. And I want you to say no to every number. Right? So he goes, 1 through 12. And in my brain, every part of me was going, please don't say 8. Please don't say 8 or whatever. But it was really the number I had in my pocket was 2 or 4, whatever it was. Right? But in my brain, I was telling myself, oh, I've got the number 8. I was convincing myself silently. He goes through the number 12 and he goes, Jennifer, just hand me the number 4 out of your pocket. And of course, it was the number 4. And he said, don't ever, ever, ever take a polygraph if you're planning on lying. He said, your charts are so easy. Like I'm a very detectable liar. Mm-hmm. And because I've got the good charts, but that's because I'm normal. I have a conscience, blah, blah, blah. If you are on drugs, which those two were completely, entirely druggies and drunkards and had so many chemicals in them. I mean, if you see Candace's first interview, she can barely, I mean, this is her. She's a hot mess. There is no way when people are chemically altered like that on a regular basis and have that in their system, it makes it very difficult to do a polygraph. The other thing is when you are a liar that lies every day, all the time about everything pathological, you also can beat the polygraph. Mm-hmm. And I think both of them fall in those categories. So the polygraph for me is nothing when it comes to polygraphing people like them. And I know it from experience. I've had cases where people beat it because they're pathological or on drugs.
What kind of drugs? I don't want to give any secrets out there for people, but what type of drugs affect things like the heart rate and the impulse movements? That would have affected that, the lie detector test, you know, and I'm not disagreeing with you at all. I've heard this before, but also isn't it like the job of the FBI, the person administering the test to determine if they're on drugs to a certain extent, you know, have a conversation, see if they're lucid, those type of things.
Sure. And every polygraph examiner is different. Mm-hmm. There's 3 that are retired right now that were in the Bureau. Actually, I had one on my show. Now it's been well over a year ago. Wonderful guy named Eric Johnson. He still is a full-time polygraph examiner for the FBI, even though he's retired. He's a contractor and he works throughout the country on different, you know, cases. He's amazing. And there's certain polygraph exams. It's like anything. FBI agents, firefighters, nurses, there are people that are at the pinnacle of their performance of their job. And those guys are amazing. But even those guys will tell you, you can't get good results with somebody like that. So, you know, I don't have any faith in whatever the exams were. Now, remember, I don't recall, and it has been a minute, and I should have looked this up. I recall very vividly Don Wills saying he passed and that ultimately she passed. Have we heard that from law enforcement? Because I'm not sure I saw a release of that information.
I know Dr. Phil, it's Dr. Phil, so I don't know. Dr. Phil said they passed. You know, Dr. Phil, when they came out, he said, I don't think you guys did anything because you guys, it would have been kind of hard given the investigation that was done into them. Given the polygraph, given the phones being turned over. And, you know, I know a lot of people question their timeline and things like that. I personally feel that law enforcement probably have a much narrower timeline based off of certain things. You know, if what Candace is saying is true, that, you know, Summer went missing and things like that, you know, there should be an activity on her phone that kind of can narrow down that time frame where you can see panic, where you can see the phone moving across, you know, the property back and forth, things of that nature. You know, when you look at the GPS location, you know, I would assume that they did those things at least, you know, and I would assume that they would have been able to have determined when it was that she got home, when it was that she left, if she left. I know there's been a lot of speculation and theories and maybe some facts that she may have gone to a gas station or something like that during the time that that she had gotten home and reported some are missing to law enforcement. But I would assume that there's a tighter timeline. Don't you think that law enforcement would have a tighter timeline?
Well, they should be able to have a tighter timeline that we wouldn't have access to, as you mentioned, based on the digital analysis. Now, that's assuming that she was running around with her cell phone in her hand, right?
That's right.
I think there's a long period of time, several hours, that to me are unaccounted for from the time of report to the time that, you know, they got back from the horse pond. And, you know, I mean, there's so many different stories about planting cactuses with Grandis. Then, you know, once, yeah, she went and got a piece of candy, and then, you know, oh, she goes into the main house with the boys because she wants to hang out with them. It's, you know, to me, when I've watched them interviewed and I've seen these, I just don't think they're being truthful. I really don't. I've always had a problem with them, and especially all the annex. And back years ago, I watched all those crazy shows and all the things they said and all the drug crazed things they did. Don Wells, just disgusting.
Yeah, he did something with his like family member, didn't he?
Well, that's, yeah. I mean, he was younger. Long history and tried to sell his other two kids for drugs. And he has a long history of abuse toward young girls. And again, I just go back to Occam's razor. So I have trouble thinking that this was completely a stranger abduction. And law enforcement has really all but said that. You know, they have said that the chances of this just being a complete stranger abduction and kidnapping are not likely. I would have to go back and pull that.
Well, I don't think anybody went up there with the intention of taking Summer. I think that's ludicrous. I think that I don't think anybody had, would have had knowledge that she was in the basement or walked up in there. My only thoughts about it are, is it possible that she walked out of the basement, heard something at the street, like the tree trimmers, was curious about the noise and went out that direction and came across the wrong person? It seems like there's a lot of the wrong type of persons that live in that area. And so that would that would increase the probability that she ran into the wrong person, type of scenario. But, you know, you talk about like, you know, Occam razors with the parents and how, you know, they were not the best parents, but, you know, when you're not the best parents, other things also happen. Like if you're not taking care of your kids and you're not watching them and you're just strung out on alcohol and drugs, they can walk off the front door and walk into an area where they could, you know, something could happen to them. So it's not always that, in my opinion, at least, that when you have people who are crappy folks, that necessarily means that they did something, but they are susceptible to having something done. Or those type of things because of the people they have around them, because of the environment that they put their kids in, it makes it likely that they could have wandered off and them not know for a long period of time because they're too involved in whatever it is that they're involved in. And so that's kind of where I'm sitting at on it. Like, you know, these weren't the best parents in the world. That also means that a lot of things could have happened because they weren't the best parents in the world. Does that make sense?
You make a exceptional point that people, when they're under the influence, when they're neglectful type parents, they open themselves up to having something bad happen to their children. I think it's a really excellent point. And, you know, I think as an investigator, you always have to keep your mind open to it could be something else. So even though I'm about, you know, 75%, I always keep my mind open. In other words, I tell you, if any evidence came in that, you know, you have to go down that road, like you're talking about, could she have wandered off barefoot, you know, through that yard area? Remember, there was always information that she didn't wander, right? She liked her tire swing, or not her tire swing, that swing. It's not, I don't think it was a tire swing, but I don't know if you've ever seen that footage. She liked to play around there. She loved being outside. But there was information that she didn't stray beyond that wooded interior, you know, area. Could she have, though? She could have. I mean, you can't completely close it off, and you bring up a good point. Do you know, back to these tree trimmers, how close they were? Were they right at the cusp of her? Were they on her curtilage, or?
That's what I heard, that they were right there off of where the, pretty close to where the scent went off. And along the, I think they were, from what I saw a map, and somebody had pointed out. So, I mean, I don't know of how accurate the person that made the map was, but it seemed like there was one, right around, right where the main road turns, where you would turn into it, to that beach cave, I think it's what it's called. And I think they were along, the main road to try to cut out some of the, I guess they were doing some preventative work so that the trees didn't mess with the power lines, is from what I understand. But yeah, I think they were fairly close. In fact, Ryan, I know Ryan Finds Truth. He's in here. He's fairly familiar. He's actually done some searches in the area. How far away, if you remember, were the tree trimmers? Because I think they were fairly close to that area. I think they were like right at that intersection when you come in.
You're asking him?
Yeah, but I think that I'm pretty sure that's where they were too. They were there in that intersection. But, you know, if they were that close, my thought is, if they're that close, then, you know, it doesn't have to be, it could be like that Amazon driver that happened out here in Texas. I believe it was in Texas. Amazon driver pulls into a yard, accidentally hits a little girl, panics, takes her. And then he takes her life and then dumps her in a ditch somewhere. I'm not sure if you had heard about that.
I haven't heard about that, but let me ask this question. How quickly was she found?
I think it was a few days.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just been my experience that when, if it's something like this, the power line guy, the body is found. This is something to me that was, you know, much more, I don't want to say calculated, but whoever did this, or if there was more than one, they calculated how to dispose of Summer. They knew this area, they knew where to go. And, so, in other words, it doesn't seem like a panicked situation, because I think if it would have been, I think she would have been found earlier.
Maybe. I mean, you know, to me, I think there's the possibility when you have good suspects like Dawn and Candace, and you have all this stuff at your disposal, as far as, you know, thinking that these are the guys, I can see some things being overlooked because this is your guy. This is your gal, you know, they're good for it. Ryan says that they were very close. And then I saw another one saying that they were clearing up all the way up to the hill. They were clearing up the power line up to the top of the hill. And so they were all up, I guess, in that area, fairly close. And to me, if, you know, going back to, you know, what you're saying about a panic move, this one tree trimmer did hit a guide wire out there that day. That's what ended up getting him fired. Could that have been a panic move?
Yeah. You know, when I think about this scenario, which I love you're bringing up, I think law enforcement also would have looked into this. at mm-hmm. that time. You know, they would have interviewed, done queries, looked at their digital phones. I mean, this would be all stuff that we haven't seen in the public, but that we can surmise that would have been investigated, and that if it would have gone someplace, those types of crimes are so much easier, I think, to detect, right? Because they're in the wrong place, they're doing what they're not supposed to be doing. The, you know, the people they work with are saying things like, whoa, he disappeared, or, you know, whatever the case may be. I think when it's a situation that it's more domestic like this, they can be harder to solve. Mm-hmm. Because DNA, you'd expect Summer's DNA. Remember, also, this was a case that, as far as I know, they never treated this like a homicide to begin with.
No, they haven't. I don't think so.
Missing person, just like they did with JonBenet Ramsey, mm-hmm. which caused, I think, a lot of problems, significant problems.
So, you know, Don put this out there. I have no idea. It might be edited. It was a TBI coming out and talking about the two possibilities in the Summer case. And the two possibilities that TBI put out there was that she wandered off or somebody abducted her. And I thought that was weird. You know, why not bring up other possibilities? Or why just leave it up to just those two? What do you think would be the tactic behind that?
Well, I'm going to be straight up. I don't have a lot of confidence, and I have a lot of confidence in law enforcement. Look, I think a lot goes, in fact, I know a lot goes on behind the scenes that the public never knows about. You know, mm-hmm. how hard they worked, how many hours they put in on this, how dedicated they were to kind of figuring out what happened. So I give law enforcement a lot of credit, but I am just saying, in this case, you know, it's been very disappointing. I'll tell you one of the biggest things. So you asked me about a tactic. I have never understood this tactic that would have been so easy. If you take somebody's kids away, you cannot just take them away. You have to show neglect. You have to show abuse. You mm-hmm. have to show an unfit home. Well, if it's neglect or if it's abuse, why were there no charges brought?
That's a good point.
You take the kids, but you don't charge. I really thought that imminently law enforcement would have charged, but you're talking about a really rotten, rotten county. You know, right? That sheriff's son, Lawson, his mm-hmm. son was convicted, you know, sexually assaulted. I think he actually has to be on the rolls. He got less than a year for a 20-year crime.
Oh, wow.
His son is an absolute filth. And that county and that sheriff completely covered and changed everything. I did a lot of work on that. That's on, for sure, on my Twitter. That, you know, all the news articles, what he was pled down to, what he did, complete sexual deviant. And literally, I think he maybe served a year. I think it was all in jail. I think he does have to be registered on the sex offender. And then that was it for horrible abuse. So what I'm saying is there's a huge problem in that county. That's my opinion. And a problem with really devotion to finding out what really might have happened to Summer Wells and what other, you know, skeletons could be in the closet over there in that county with abusive men.
Mm. Yeah, that's horrible. I mean, you know, but one of the things that I've said, because when it comes to, like, I guess, corruption and stuff like that within law enforcement, you know, one thing I tell folks is if you're going to find it, it's going to be in a small department in a rural area and not a lot of checks and balances. And so if that sounds like this area, though. We got a couple of super stickers and super chats. Nina Drew comes in with 99 cents, and
So nice.
Yes, Lou comes in saying, great insight tonight. Thank you. Thank you. In Clovis Bliss says, how much time did Don and Candace spend searching for Summer? I'm not familiar. You know, did they suspend the search or anything like that early? I'm not familiar with the early part of the, you know, the disappearance. This is way before I got into talking about true crime or missing persons.
You know, as I recall, and again, I was so into this case when it first happened. It was, I was just on it, just like Idaho 4 when that first happened, on it, on it, on it. Mm-hmm. And as I recall, so I don't have my notes in front of me, but they didn't, you know, very little to no searching. That was a big thing that was actually brought up. Some searching, so little. And, you know, you just look back, look at the interview. It's one of the most telling interviews. It should be used at the FBI Academy, where, again, Candace is wasted. Don is less wasted. The whole past tense thing. I mean, it's an absolute, you know, education, in my opinion, as to how people talk when they're lying. And what happened, you know, stories and how they speak when they're not telling the truth. And, you know, he makes it very clear. I even think in that interview, and I wish we had it to pull up, but he even says, and everybody can go back and look, I think it's this interview where, you know, well, she's in a better place or something like that. And
he'll see her at the resurrection.
Yeah. You'll see her at the resurrection. Thank you very much. You know what I mean? That's just when I would say, when you look at a missing person and a family, and you can't judge everybody the same. Mm-hmm. I was patriotic, but pretty much it's going to be like Gabby Petito's family, distraught beyond, you know, so emotional, begging for help, you know, never sleeping, relentless at trying to find their loved one, their daughter in that case. The you know, just the raw emotion and on law enforcement. What are you doing? What are you doing to find my child? You know, and you see almost everybody in every missing case I've worked, and it's been many, all those parents are like that. You know,
yeah.
And so when I see the opposite, you know, like a Susan Smith or the recent case with that poor little boy, help me with his name.
Emmanuel Haro?
Yes, Emmanuel Haro. You could tell right away. I mean, you know, and I came out and said it the minute after she spoke. I went up and said, liar. Yeah. Liar. And I'm sure everybody in the audience, or many people in the audience, felt the same. But I remember a lot of people saying, Jennifer, you don't know she's lying. That could hit. I'm like, well, you're right. I don't 100% know. But from everything I'm seeing, she's lying. I've seen that a million times. And that, watch that interview. Take a look at Don. Take a look at Candace and see what you think. And my point is, why would you lie?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. You know, now, I know they were into drugs and possibly possibly into drugs and alcohol and things. And I know that a lot of people will look at them as for drinking and things like that. What would you say to those that say, well, I mean, she's missing her kids. You know, some people turn to the bottle. Some people turn to the pills. Some people turn to the weed when they're missing, you know, a loved one, when there's a breakup, when there's a divorce, you know, could, you know, they're unhealthy reaction be just a reaction?
All I would say to that is, well, in advance of Summer Wells going missing, there was severe alcohol and drug and issues. So
that's true.
It wasn't that she lost her child and turned to something to help her. She was involved in that way before.
Gotcha. And the last thing that I wanted to ask your opinion on, There was some footprints that were found. Me personally, I think that one of the places was, I think, one of Don's relatives. The other place was within a quarter mile. I don't put it past her and her brothers going around, running around barefoot. So I don't know when those footprints were put there. Do you think there's any relevance to the case, the footprints that were found the days after the disappearance that happened to be barefoot? She was allegedly barefoot as well.
You know, look, it's something that has to be looked at, but this is the problem with those footprints. There is no way to say when they got there.
That's what I'm saying.
And that makes it problematic to be able to really use that, in my opinion, as circumstantial evidence, because it's too, you know, it's too, we don't know when they got there. So I think that's the problem with that, Daniel, to really pin down.
Yeah, that's where I'm at on that as well. You know, I think they're fairly close to the house to the point where they could have been placed relatively, you know, the day before or you know, 2 days earlier. And it's not like it's too far out of the way. Now, if they found footprints like 9.5 miles away, it's a different story. You know, I think that might, that might play a role, but you know, a quarter mile away, I think one of the properties was related, you know, it was family members. So I wouldn't be surprised if at some point she visited, you know what I'm saying? And so, I think this is it's a puzzling case. You know, I wonder why there hasn't been more movement from law enforcement in this case one way or the other. You don't need a body to make an arrest if you feel that there's something to that extent, like that would require a murder charge type of thing. Do you think, do you fear this is just going to stay cold forever?
I do. First of all, I think it's very important to know that the Bureau has zero jurisdiction here.
Good deal to know.
Unless, you know, somehow it could be proved that somebody took Summer Wells across state lines and then murdered her. Other than that, which I don't think there's any evidence of that at all, venue is squarely in that county and squarely under the purview of a sheriff. Now, if for some reason he's out now, because I haven't looked lately, but I don't have any information that Lawson's not still in charge, but you're in a jurisdiction that I think has a lot of issues and a lot of issues with looking at cases of sexual assault on little girls and fighting against a culture that really is a hot mess in terms of how children are treated and what is normal in terms of care for children and education for children and investigating these types of sexual type crimes. So remember, the jurisdiction, the venue, the power is in that county. And I don't trust really that law enforcement entity very much.
Ryan asks, what about the fact that FBI was involved in the search? Does that imply cross jurisdiction issues?
Not cross jurisdiction. When, just to go into a little bit more detail, when you open up these police cooperation cases, I explained earlier, but that's how they're titled. It's just like you have so much power with those cases, meaning if the local law enforcement entity wants, you can use any facet of the FBI to assist in their investigation, but it doesn't mean you're ever going to be involved at all in the adjudication of the case, only in assisting. And they can close it down, like on Delphi. Many of you know about that. I mean, Delphi said, bye-bye, Bureau, and Bureau left.
Yeah. Yeah. Angel Inc. says, one footprint for Summer and one footprint for Lily and Jack. Lily and Jack had a cluster of footprints, and one of them, those were a little bit different because Lily and Jack, those footprints were a couple of them. They ended up matching Lily's boot print, the tread, down to the size that they had just bought and the boots that are missing. And so that one kind of means a little bit more to me as far as the possibility of those kids wandering off. Kind of goes back to what I had said earlier, though. Like if you have some neglectful parents, you know, they become susceptible for things to happen, like wandering off and being in that position. And so you know, that's kind of where I'm at a little bit on that case. On this one, the footprints, there was two. There was a single one, from what I understand, a single one on one property, and then another single one on another property, a little bit of the ways away. And so that is odd too, that there was just the one barefoot by themselves. It did sound though, like based on the information I was reading, that due to the searches, a lot of what potentially could have been more traces of footprints were trampled over with mm-hmm. other searches' footprints. And so those become an issue as well. But Jen, I don't want to keep you too long. What do you have going on the rest of the week? What can people look forward to from your channel?
Well, you know, we've been covering the Brian Walsh trial, and I got to tell you, I'm never going to do a trial again. I've decided. I did Karen Reed both one and two, and it was such a difficult, I mean, that went on for weeks and weeks and weeks. And I mean, I work, you know, like I have children, I have such a big life. And even covering this one, which has really only been 8 days, tomorrow would be 9 days. And yeah. I tell you what, it's such a huge commitment. And I feel like I've let down the other two hosts because they were definitely carried the show much more. The other thing is with these trials, now, I don't know if you'll ever want to do one, Dan, but the other problem is you have channels, particularly the law channels, that's what they do. Yeah. They go to the court and then they have somebody there, they live tweet, they have these huge audiences. I mean, I had basically zero audience. I felt terrible because after the Karen Reed case, I had really nice size audiences. And I wasn't there to kind of usher it and be there every minute for it, Dan.
Yeah.
So to make a long story short, Friday, which is tomorrow, you know, we're going to have closing statements in that trial. And then we'll be on verdict watch. I think we'll have a verdict within 2 days.
That's quick.
I think it'll be quick on that Brian Walsh case, which will be good. But if I may mention, Dan, one of the huge interviews I just got, and I'm so excited. Please look him up. Cameron Malin. He was with the FBI for years. He was an assistant United States attorney before that. He began the forensic profiling unit, the behavioral science unit. Actually, that's what people call it, profiling, but people within law enforcement call it behavioral science. Behavioral science unit that was the first to the Bureau focusing on just your digital footprint, Dan, and taking that and extrapolating a criminal profile to you.
That's amazing.
The premier, he's in London right now teaching this huge class. He's amazing. So I'm so excited about him. And then I'm getting his wife, not during that show. That show, please mark your calendars. It's going to be a good one. It's February 16th and probably around 5, but I've got to shore that up with him, the time. We've got the date in writing. His wife, who for 20 years, did only crimes against children, basically.
And she's
the most premier, child, behavioral science gurus. She's amazing. And so I just got to get the date nailed down for her. I've got some exciting ones coming up. I'm hoping Tim Tebow, I reached out today again. I did not hear back, but met with him. And I'm really hoping that, you know, I'll get him on the show.
That'd be awesome.
He does amazing work, Dan. Are you familiar with his work?
His football work and what he does with the, religion and what he does with analysts and things of that nature. Yeah.
You know,
not true crime. I didn't know is he in true crime?
Well, you know what he's doing now? He literally is helping children who have been rescued from being sexually horribly abused throughout the world.
Oh, wow.
He's got, I think, 46 rescue homes now where he takes these from all over the world. And you know, helps really just rescue them in every way and provide counseling and everything. What he does is just amazing. He works with law enforcement. Obviously, he's not out there doing the enforcement side of it, but he's providing a case of refuge after. It's the Tim Tebow Foundation. And in fact, he threw me, if you've been on the channel in the last month or so, because this just happened about a month ago, but I was so excited. He threw me a, he said he was throwing footballs out into this crowd that we were all in. And anyway, I'm like, Tim, if I'm going to have you throw me a pass, I'm just not going to stand here. So I said, listen, I'm doing a 10 and out. He goes, 10 and out. Yeah, 10 and out. So I go running and then I do a 10 and he perfectly throws the ball in my hands like this.
Dang.
And thank God I caught it, because if I didn't, I would feel like a real idiot. I almost, though, blew out one of the screens because my out pattern went to the screen. We were watching. But no, so hoping, I'm really hoping he'll come on, even if it's for 15, 20 minutes to talk about everything he's doing. Elizabeth Smart, very excited. I was teaching firearms and self-defense to raise money for women who mm-hmm. are victims of sexual assault. And when I was there, I spoke with Elizabeth Smart's former manager for many, many, many years. And so I'm hoping to get her on. And so some exciting stuff, I think.
That, you know, that is exciting. If you talk to Tim, tell him I'm still hurting about that playoff loss that the Steelers took to Team Tebow back in the day. It still hurts me. But that is awesome that he's doing such great work. You know, for you guys that are tuning in to me on Jen's side, for me, what I have coming up, I got a couple of things. Speaking of football, tomorrow I'm going to be talking about some football. And, you know, I got a huge new segment that we're going to be doing on Fridays called Football Friday. We're going to be talking about ball. But on Saturday, guys, I'm going to have Daphne's Case Files and Dr. Vona on the channel. I'm going to be breaking some information in the Jack and Lily case about some things that I've learned here recently, including a possible possibly solve the mystery behind the blue blanket and the sweater and how it ended up 3 miles away. So I'm going to be talking about that. I also had some interesting conversation with some folks that are really close to the case that have kind of explained a few things that people have had a couple questions about. So that's going to be coming out on Saturday. And then Sunday night, I'm going to have, right now it's still preliminary. It looks like it's going to go down. I'm going to have the canine unit that myself and Ryan Finds Truth, who's in the chat. We're going to be talking about the Jack and Lily case. And then on Tuesday, we're having Dr. Vona and Ryan Finds Truth. And we're going to talk about some of the Dr. Vona, who's a psychologist.
She's great.
Yeah, very. We're going to talk about Candace and Don Wells's interviews and kind of react. You know, I don't think she's seen a lot of them, so we're going to try to get her reaction of them and what she thinks about what they're saying and see what she picks up. And so that's the schedule for the next few days, guys. Please hit the like button and subscribe.
That is great, Dan. I definitely will be tuning into the Vona.
Yeah.
On the one with, and believe me, case of the Canadian kiddos that are gone too. That is another, such a sad case. And I always try to, whenever I find something new, I put that on my Twitter feed. So I'll be checking out what you have to say on that. But I'm very curious to see what Dr. Vono's insights are regarding those interviews and yours too. Listen, you're, Dan, I love being on your show. I so appreciate it. There's some sort of weird, like we jam cases. I love it.
I do too. It was a pleasure talking to you. It's always a pleasure. We got to keep doing this. I'll be tuning in as well. And, you know, thank you again for tuning in. Everybody, her links are in the description. Make sure you go and subscribe and follow. I'd appreciate that. Everybody have a good night. I'll see you guys tomorrow. That's going to be it. You have a good night, Jen. Take it easy.
Good night.
Good night, everybody. Bye.
Want to break the case with Jennifer Coffendaffer even more? Then press subscribe right now and join Jen on YouTube. Just search Break the Case with Jennifer Coffendaffer now.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The holidays are here, and that means it's the most wonderful time of the year to save with Rakuten. Use Rakuten to stack cash back at your favorite stores on top of holiday sales. That's savings on savings. With Rakuten, you can get cash back on gifts for everyone on your list. From toys for the kids, to kitchen gear for the person who loves to cook, to electronics for everyone. You can even save on something for yourself. Just shop the stores you love, and cash back is automatically added to your account. And you can get paid with gift cards, PayPal, or check. Or eligible American Express card members can even choose to earn membership rewards points instead of cash back. It's truly a no-brainer. Join for free today and get a new member bonus after minimum qualifying purchases. Just go to Rakuten.com, download the app, or install the browser extension. That's Rakuten. Terms and conditions apply.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com.
Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty,
and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.